Lord. If we're going to give the Lord a clap offering, come and give him a loud clap offering. Come on. Not to man, but to God. You know, the psalmist says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto your name should all the praise and glory be given. Amen. So as his people, we are mindful of that and we give God the praise and the glory, don't we? Because he is good. Oh, you guys don't sound too sure. We are mindful of that and we give God the praise and the glory, don't we? Are you sure about that? He and he alone deserves all the praise, all the honor, all the adoration that we can give. For he is good and his mercy endures forever. Amen. Let's go straight into the passage of today. Turn your Bibles, please, with me to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, I'm going to read it from verse 1 to verse 9, and then from verse 18 to verse 23. Mark 13, from verse 1 to 9. It's a very well-known passage of scripture we're going to look at today. It's the parable of the sower. I read Matthew 13, I beg your pardon. Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9, and then verses 18 to 23. I beg your pardon. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no roots, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And let's jump to verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the words and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the words, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the words, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the words, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the words and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you once again for a time to come round your word. I pray, God, that the entrance of your word will bring light. I pray, God, that you give us an understanding of your word. I pray, God, that you challenge us where we need to be challenged, where we need to be changed, Lord, you will change us. Where, yes, perhaps we need to be shaken a bit, Lord, I pray you shake us. Where, yes, Lord, you need to instruct us and tell us the way that we should go, Lord, I pray we will listen to your instruction and heed and follow you. Be glorified in our lives, Lord, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, one thing we have said here before, and we say it again very clearly, is that preaching is spiritual warfare. You know that? When we come together like this to hear the word of God, whether it's the preached word or whether you're being taught or whether you're being encouraged, it doesn't matter, whatever area or sphere it is, preaching is spiritual warfare. Yes. The reason for that is this. You and I, we have an enemy. That's right. We have someone who does not like us. We have someone who opposes us. We have someone who doesn't like it when we succeed, when things go our way, when we are progressing in the things of God. We have someone who's upset. And that person would rather we strayed away from what God is doing, from what God is saying. The Bible tells us very clearly in Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm sure we all know this, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. If you study the book of Ephesians and you know about the people of Ephesus, wrestling was a very important pastime to the people of Ephesus. So when Paul therefore was writing to them, he used that analogy of wrestling to say to them, look, yes, people, we are in a wrestling match. But you know what? It's not against flesh and blood. Or as one, I think, version would say, it's not against persons with bodies. It's against spiritual forces. It's against demons. It's against those things that would oppose the move of God. And what the devil wants for your life and for my life is to take away what we know. Take away anything of God that is in us. He wants to stop us from hearing, from receiving that which God has for us. And therefore, people, as a result, we are in spiritual warfare. We are in a battle. It's amazing how you can have someone who comes to church and completely throughout the service, their mind just drifts away. You ask them, what did they learn in church? And then they have no idea. It reminds me of someone who I heard a preacher. I don't know whether this was a joke or not. It's true. Someone came home one day and they said, oh, I heard a good message in church today. It was really deep. It was really good. Oh, what was the message about? I can't remember because it was so deep. What good is a deep message if you can't remember what it was like? Oh, the message was deep, but you can't remember it. The devil doesn't want you and I to prosper in the word of God. Because he knows, and this is very important, people of God, the devil knows the power in the word of God. And we, therefore, as believers, we need to know the power in the word of God. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, if you read it in Matthew chapter 4, there were three words he used in each temptation to overcome the devil. Those three words, it is written. We find it in all those three temptations. The enemy quoted the word back to Jesus Christ. He misquoted, of course. He abused it. But Jesus responded with the words. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. It is written, thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Him only shall you serve. The message was applied even in the life of Jesus, and he used it effectively against the enemy. People of God, we need to learn as his people also to effectively use the weapon that we have been given. Paul says there in Ephesians, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We're also told that the word of God is living, is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We have a powerful weapon, people of God. No wonder why the devil doesn't want us to use it. No wonder why he wants us to be ignorant of the word of God. I was speaking with Pastor Brian and Elder Charles at the beginning of the service, and I was saying one of the things that's been on my heart is we come here as God's people, whether it's here or anywhere else, week in, week out, and we hear the word of God. Has it changed us? Has it transformed us? Has it challenged us? Can we say that there's been a transformation in our lives because of the word that we have heard? Or are we people that we go around and we're really angry and upset because of the word that we've heard? Or are we going to be those people who, yes, at times, even if the word might seem like it's rebuking us, we sit down and we meditate on what we've heard and we let God speak to our hearts and change and transform us? The passage that we've read today, the parable of the sower, I'm sure it's a well-known parable to us. Probably a lot of us have heard it before. It's about the word of God. Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah chapter 55, he says this, so shall my word be. This is the word of God that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
Yeah.
That is the power of the word of God.
Yeah.
When God's word goes forth, it never comes back and says mission failed.
That's right.
I look at it this way. God's word goes out, and when it comes back, it always says mission accomplished. It always says mission successful. It always says, yes, it has been done. It never comes back and reports failure. It shall accomplish what I please and shall prosper in the thing to which I sent it. So we look at the parable of the sower. It's one of those parables, interestingly enough, in which we're given both the parable and the interpretation. And we read that in the verses we read there in Matthew. We have both the parable and the interpretation. That therefore leaves us in no doubt as to what Jesus meant by the parable. You know, because sometimes theologians, preachers, we can have all kinds of debates as to where maybe it meant this or it meant that and so on and so forth. But very clearly here, Jesus tells us, and this parable is recorded in the three synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We see them there, parallels. So very clearly, we know what Jesus meant by this. We know that Jesus was, when he was speaking, he likened the word of God, the preaching of the word of God, the publishing of the word of God, broadcast of the word of God, if you like, as a sower who is sowing seed. And he mentions four places where the seed fell. Now, I want you to know one thing right here at the beginning, people of God. Those four categories, each person in those categories heard the word of God. Yeah? They all received the word of God. Some benefited, some did not. Some found it useful, some did not. But one key thing that underlies them is that they all heard the words. Are you with me? They all received the words. And this makes us understand sometimes where two people could be, say, for example, in the church, in a congregation, listen to a message. One person could benefit from the words, the other one doesn't. Could it be that spiritual warfare? Could it be that the devil is trying to mess up someone's life to prevent them from hearing the words?
Yeah.
They all received the words.
Yeah.
But they didn't all prosper. My prayer is that we will all prosper as we hear the word of God. That the cares of this world, the pressures of this world will not stop us from hearing what God has got to say. So let's look at these four categories and we can see the battle as God's people that we're in. The first category it says there is that some fell by the wayside. In Mark chapter 4, verse 15, as I said, this parable is told in the three synoptic gospels. In Mark 4, 15, it says this, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So they hear the word. They receive it. And then it's taken away. The Bible says that the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come, Jesus has come, that they may have life and have it more abundantly. The devil wants to steal the word in your heart. He wants to take it away from you. He wants you to discard what you have heard. I began asking myself, therefore, how does the devil take away, steal that word, therefore, that is in people's hearts? If it says that they fell by the wayside, this is the evil one taking away. I believe he does it by a number of ways. It could be doubts. It could just be plain lack of attention. Or it could just be stubbornness. It could be stubbornness where people just think, you know what, I know better than God. Oh, you know what, or God is wrong, or God is responsible, and all sorts of things. And you just think the complete opposite to what God is saying. Instead of accepting what God is saying, we want to try and argue with God. We want to try and rationalize with God. Rather than accepting what God is saying, or at times when we hear the word of God, you know, it's amazing, sometimes Christians, when they hear God's word, because they think it doesn't apply to them, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. That's not from God. But God is actually speaking. God is actually speaking. Yes, we're just rejecting what God is saying. And we're therefore giving the devil a foothold into our life to take away what God is saying to us. And perhaps in the midst of that, we miss what God is saying. We need to really spiritually tune our eyes, tune our ears to understand what God is saying. When we say, God, open my understanding to receive that word. I'm not going to let the thief steal what you have for me, O God. Because if he does that, then the word has not benefited us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Jesus says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. Oh, you know what, people? Let's understand one thing. As I said, listen, I'm not trying to make us devil conscious. See, look, we have the victory, amen?
Amen.
We have the victory, amen? Let's understand that. But let's understand, therefore, that though that enemy is in front of us, that we are going to oppose him and we're going to prevail. That does, although we have the victory, that does not mean that we are ignorant. In fact, the Bible says that we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. It doesn't mean that we walk around in foolishness. It doesn't mean that we walk around without thinking. No, that we are aware. Yes, I'm a child of the King. Victory is mine. Success is mine. And therefore, I'm going to move in that. And therefore, when the enemy tries to oppose me, I'm going to rebuke him in the name of Jesus. So, yes, I'm not trying to make us devil conscious, but I'm trying to make us aware of what we have to do to ensure that we maintain and we keep our victory in the name of Jesus. So no, the devil is not going to steal that word from us. God has a word for you. God has a word for me. You're not going to miss it in the name of Jesus. We rebuke the hand of the enemy over our lives. We rebuke the devourer. He has come to steal. He will not steal from you in Jesus' name. And if he has stolen from you, you are taking it back in the name of Jesus. I have come that they may have life. So if the thief has taken it, Jesus will restore it.
Amen.
If the thief has bundled it away, then we come to the one who gives eternal life, abundant life, and he restores to you what is missing, what is broken.
Yeah.
But our focus, therefore, people of God, is him.
Yeah.
It's him and him alone.
Amen.
But Jesus also says something else interesting about these who fell by the wayside, and it is this. These are those who received the word but did not understand it. Those who received the word but did not understand it. If you remember the, I believe it was the road to Emmaus, when two disciples were walking there. And Jesus came and stood with them. And they didn't know who he was. They thought, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who did not know what was going on? And then he began to expound the scripture to them. After that, Jesus then appeared to the disciples. And there's an interesting verse that I love. It says he opened their minds that they may comprehend the scriptures. Wow, man, I love that. He opened their minds. Perhaps there was something that was blocking their mind. Perhaps there was something that was not making the message get through. But Jesus came and he opened their minds. Oh, how we need God to do that to us. Oh, how we need God to do that to us in the name of Jesus. That we'll understand, we'll comprehend what God is saying. At times it might seem hard to us, but when by the Spirit of God, he opens our understanding, he opens our minds. What might seem difficult or complex or strange becomes so simple to us. Why? Because God has given us the understanding of his word. The entrance of his word brings light. And we want God to bring light to our paths. So perhaps when you read the word of God, when you hear it being preached, when you hear it being taught, perhaps you don't understand it. Lord, please open my understanding. Lord, please give me an understanding of your word.
Yeah.
It might seem at times maybe strange or, wow, this is too complex and all that. Lord, please give me an understanding of your word. that this word will not be futile in my life.
Yeah.
That is what God, I believe, is calling us to. The second category, you see, of people is the word that fed on stony places. And Jesus says there, that is those who do not have roots. Now, agricultural science was not my best subject in secondary school. I preferred chemistry and physics and maths. But one thing I do realize about planting and farming is that you have to have the right conditions for a seed to grow. You don't just plant a seed anyway. You have to, whether you use the right soil, you're using manure, fertilizer, you're watering it, it's the right sunlight and all that. You have to make sure that the conditions are favorable, in other words. The conditions have to be favorable for the seed to grow. If the conditions are not favorable, the seed will not grow.
Yeah.
And when it starts growing, of course, it'll quickly die away. I remember that there was a time we lived in, we grew up in Nigeria, and the place where we grew up, it was very, very rocky, very stony. Mm. So much when you planted anything, yes, at times it struggled to actually grow. And when it did grow, for example, when we had like the mangoes or the guavas, they always tasted really bitter or sour. And someone explained that to us, it's because the ground is so stony, what's happening is that the plants are trying to produce acid to melt the stone. And then in the process, that acid is also sapped up into the plants, hence the fruit tastes sour. In other words, because the place was rocky, the fruit wasn't that good. Because the condition wasn't favorable, the produce wasn't what it should be. And here we're told that when it falls on stony places, these are people who, when there's persecution, when there's trial, for example, they fall away. You see, Jesus has never promised us that things will always flow smoothly. But what he has told us is that he would always be with us.
Amen.
What he has told us is that I am with you every step of the way.
That's right.
And therefore, when we are rooted in him, this is key to it, when we are rooted in him, when we are grounded in him, not in our knowledge, not in our forefathers, not in the things that we've even read or heard, when we're rooted in him, when we have the roots in ourselves, it doesn't matter what faces us. We know that we are triumphant, we are successful,
yeah,
because we are properly rooted and grounded in God.
Yeah.
And therefore, when we hear the word of God, it needs to take root in our lives. We need to ask God, God, this is your word. You are the author of the words. Therefore, I'm applying this to my life as you, Lord, would direct me and lead me and help me. And as his word takes root in our lives, it doesn't matter what comes our way. We will stand strong.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
We will stand strong. In Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul says, put on the whole armor of God that you may withstand in the evil days. What does he say? And having done all,
stand.
To do what?
Stand.
Having done all to what?
Stand.
Not to sit, to stand. Stand means that we are ready for battle. Stand means that we are ready, that whatever comes our way, victory is ours.
Amen.
Having done all to stand.
Yeah.
And we stand rooted and grounded in him. Because the word has taken its rightful place in our hearts. You see, we could come to church and we could hear such a wonderful message. Wow, that message was good. That message was powerful. And praise God, we could hear that. But you know what? The test is how we apply it to our lives.
Yeah.
Oh, the message can be sold. Oh, I love that preacher. I wish you came to our assembly every Sunday. I wish you was there every day. Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah.
But has the word taken roots in your life? Has that word really challenged you?
Yeah.
Has that word really changed you? Has that word really transformed you?
Yeah.
Has that word, where necessary, yes, rebuked you? Has it touched your life? Or is it just, wow, that was a nice word? We need to go beyond just hearing a nice word, people of God, to applying this to our lives, that there is a change, there's a transformation, there's a difference. The third thing we see is that the word, some of it fell upon thorns. And it says the cares of this world chooses. And Jesus explained this. These are those who allow the deceitfulness of this world to, if you like, take that word away from them. You see, people, we need to be very careful of deception. We need to be very, very careful of deception. That was how the devil deceived or made Adam and Eve disobey. He deceived them. What is deception? Deception is when you are convinced that a lie is a truth and you act on it. Someone's told you a lie. You believe it, you think it's the truth, and you act on it. When you do that, you've been deceived. And that is what the enemy did to Adam and Eve. Oh no, God doesn't know you can take that forbidden fruit. You'll be like him. And they looked at it and they were convinced by this lie. And they acted upon it. They ate from the forbidden fruits. And you know what? That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to deceive us. The Bible says Satan himself is disguised like an angel of light. Let me say this at the risk of being controversial. I'm sometimes really concerned about people who like going to churches where they perform miracles. Oh, God is moving there. They're always having these miracles. They're always having these wonders. Okay, they are. The question is, whose power are they using? Whose power is it that they're using? Is it the power of God? There was a time, one of our pastors, he's now passed away, passed away in weeks. There was a time we were having, the guys, they were having a service, and they had a really exciting service. And they said, Pastor, we had a good service. He asked them, was God there? Was God there? Might have been exciting. People might have jumped up. People might have been so glad and happy. Was God there? When Moses went to Pharaoh and he threw down his rod and his rod became a serpent, what happens? Pharaoh asked the Egyptians of Egypt to do the same thing. They threw down their rods and their rods became serpents. What's my point? My point is this. We have to be very careful that what God does, the devil also will try and mimic. The devil will also try and copy to make us think that that is God. And that is why we have to be careful as God's people. Yeah. That is why sometimes we have to be careful and not just jump up and down when we see things happen. Mm. Sometimes we need to step back and say to ourselves, is this God? Yeah. Sometimes, yes, we need to step back and say, is it God moving in this place? Mm. Or is this someone just faking or pretending or using the power of the evil one? That's where discernment, I believe, comes in. How, as God's people, we need it. How we need it so much in our lives that we will know when truly it is God moving and we will know when truly it is the enemy moving. But what we have is that the seed that was sown among thorns, they face deception. And therefore, the word was choked. What should have sprung up in their lives, what should have been fruitful in their lives, therefore, was choked up. And the word which should have been profitable for them was no longer profitable. Oh, people, may God help us. May God help us as we hear his word. The fourth category we see, and this is one that I really want to dwell on. The seed fell on fertile ground. I'll read again from Mark. It says this, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word. Now, listen to this. Those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruits with patience. Those who hear the words with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruits with patience. You see, fertile ground represents hearts that are ready to hear the word of God and to do it. Amen? Not just hearts that are ready to hear the word of God, but hearts that are ready to do what God has said that we should do. Hearts that are willing to follow God, to obey him. Hearts that are willing to say, yes, God, give me the grace to do your will. what you're telling me to do. Perhaps, God, there are things in my life I'm doing that I should not be doing. Perhaps there are things that I'm not doing that I need to start doing. God, give me the grace to follow you, because my heart is ready to follow you. My heart is ready to serve you. Hearts, of course, that are not stubborn. Because that is one thing that God hates. Hearts that are not stubborn. You know, there are people who don't like to hear the word of God. That God's word actually upsets them. Remember when Stephen was preaching in the book of Acts? And he preached the message to the people because they were angry and upset because of all the miracles and wonders he was doing. They preached, he preached the message to them. And it said that their ears were stopped. Yeah. They didn't want to hear what he was saying.
No.
It really makes them upset. It makes them angry. Because they're preaching the truth of the word of God. What about, I think, in John chapter 8, when Jesus was speaking to some of the Jews, it says that afterwards they wouldn't walk with him anymore. They left him.
Yeah.
You see, this word, and the Apostle Paul has said this, this word offends people.
It does.
It's a stumbling block. It's an offense to some people. Why? Because it's telling people to stop doing what they are doing. It's telling them that this now is what you need to do. You need to change your ways. And they don't want to change their ways. It's telling them that this is what you need to start doing. They don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Therefore, they're upset. They're angry. Don't speak to me about the word of God. I don't want to hear it. Why? Because I'm happy doing what I'm doing. I'm happy with my life the way it is. And God is calling us to break our fallow ground, to break our stubbornness, to break our resistance to his word, to receive the word of God, even if at times it feels a bit uncomfortable.
It
reminds me of those days when my parents, you know, growing up, when our parents would tell us off. You know, I still remember this, that my mum would give us a big tell-off and she'd see us being all sulky and having a long face. She would look at us and she would say, "The truth is bitter. We might not like it. We might not like it. We might not agree with it," but she would still say it. She would say, "Yeah, the truth is bitter, but this is what you've got to do." We might not like it at times, people of God. It might make us angry or upset, but you know what? It's for our good. Amen? It is for our good in the name of Jesus. It's not there to harm us. It's not there to hurt us. It's there to heal us. Is there to give us peace? Is there to give us hope? Is there to lead us in the way that we should go? Therefore, we should be people who are ready to hear the word of God.
Yeah.
And one more thing is this. God wants us to profit from his word.
He does.
Yeah. Turn your Bibles, please, with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. One thing I want us to see. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2. Let me just read this verse. It's a key verse and I really want us to understand this. This is the writer speaking about the children of Israel. "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as it was to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." I want you to note that key thing there. The word that was preached to them did not profit them. And God wants his word to profit us. God wants his word to be useful to us.
Yep.
Yes, as we read in this passage, the key ingredient missing was faith. That's why it didn't profit them. And that's why the children of Israel, I'm sure as we know the story, they spent so long wandering in the wilderness. They heard the words. They received it, but it did not profit them. And therefore, all the suffering that they went through was because it did not profit them. It was not because they did not hear the word. It was not because God was not speaking to them. It was not because God was not showing them signs and wonders. But because that word did not take its rightful place in their lives and do the work they were supposed to do in their lives. And therefore, God desires, people of God, that his word is useful to us. God desires that we make profits from the word of God. God wants to, as I said earlier on, he wants to open our minds that we may comprehend the scripture. And we as God's people, we're going to do what we need to do to ensure that the thief doesn't steal what God has given to us. See, listen, God has a word for you. Amen?
Yeah.
God, see, don't ever think that God only speaks to special people, whatever that means anyway.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means, but whatever it does mean, don't ever think that God only speaks to special people. Why? Because God has no favorites. Our God does not discriminate. The world out there might show you all kinds of favoritism and discrimination, not our God. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. If you yield yourself to God, God will also yield himself to you and you see great things happening in your life. If you commit yourself to God, God too will commit himself to you. So don't think that God has favorites. No, he doesn't. But the more you yield to him, the more he reveals himself to you.
That's right.
Amen? That, therefore, people, is what we need to learn. And therefore, because God has no favorites, God can reveal his word to anyone. And in fact, God does speak to anyone. We read of that passage in Joel, and the Lord says, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. That is what God says. Pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Not just a certain key number of people. Whosoever wills. And therefore, let God speak to you. Amen. Whether that's even as you're having your own quiet time, you're having your own time of Bible study, whether that's through the word being preached at a time like this, whether that's through Bible study, let God speak to you. Whether it's through prophecy, let God speak to you. But my prayer is this: the word that he speaks may fall on fertile soil. And you know what? The decision, I believe, is yours. Because we, you see, Jesus has told us this parable, and there's a reason why he tells us, so that we could be aware, that we could take action, that we could learn, and we could ensure that we don't fall under the snares, the traps of the enemy. He's given us this parable, and therefore, the results or the response from you and I is this: will your hearts be fertile soil for the word? Will your hearts be that soil that, and it says that it yields fruits, some 100, some 60, some 40. Will your hearts be your hearts that profits from the word of God? Or will your heart be your heart that just, whatever? The choice is yours, people of God. The decision is yours. But my prayer is that we will be people who will profit from the word of God as we hear his word to us. Let's rise to our feet, please. Hallelujah. Some prophesied, some did not. The common denominator, they all heard the word. Why don't you pray for yourself? And you're going to pray that in the name of Jesus, you are going to be among those who profit from the word of God.
Yeah.
Some received it. They all received it. Some let the cares of this world choke the word. Why don't you pray? No, that's not me, in the name of Jesus. Come on, you pray for yourself right now, people of God. Lord, as I hear your word, as your word comes to me, may it be profitable in my life in the name of Jesus. May it, I pray, oh God, fall on fertile soil. I said at the beginning, we hear the word of God week in, week out, day in, day out. Is it changing you? Challenge yourself right now. Ask yourself, speak to yourself right now. Is the word of God changing me? Is there a difference in my life as I'm hearing the word of God? Or is it just the same old, same old? Can you say that there's a transformation in your life as you're hearing the word of God? Like I said, whether it's through your quiet time, your devotion, whether it's through the preached word like this, it doesn't matter. Can you say there's a difference in your life as you're hearing the word of God? Or is it still the same old you? Father, as we hear your word in our lives, may there be a difference in our lives, oh God. May there be a change. May there be a transformation, oh God, in the name of Jesus. because, Lord, you are moving us on in you to bigger, to greater, to better things. Father, help us, I pray.
Yes.
Oh, with our heads still bowed, I just want to make one altar call and then I'm going to hand back. And it's simply this: if you do not know the Lord as your Lord and Savior, please just raise your hands where you are. You want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about the Word being sown. We're talking about receiving the Word. This is the Word of God. This is the Word that Jesus proclaimed. You want to know this Jesus? Just raise your hands where you are.